chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, welcome to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, did Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, cook his goose with his remarks about roadkill tasting better than our barbecue? If that happened, the man responsible for Governor Perry's downfall is none other than our own John Sheldon Reed, who is the co-author of Holy Smoke, the big book of North Carolina barbecue. And the subtitle is The Definitive Guide to the People, Recipes, and Lore. All of that published by UNC Press just a few years ago, one of the best books ever. So I've persuaded John Reed, who's just back from England, to come talk to us about a little bit, to put in perspective Governor Perry's remarks that happened way back in 1992 and how he happened to preserve those remarks in the book that he co-authored with his wife Dale and with William McKinney. So, John Reed, welcome.
Thank you, D.G. Always good to be here talking to you.
Did I have a question in all of my
remarks? No, you had an assertion that I want to take slight issue with you.
Good, okay.
you said that I was responsible. I preserved.
Of course you were responsible.
I preserved this comment of his, but I got it from an N&O story about the 1992.
Just to be clear about this whole fiery, I mean, we're in the middle of a forest fire.
Oh, yeah.
Of comments, a 1992 comments about barbecue, North Carolina barbecue, being not as tasty as roadkill.
Let me tell you the story. Well, 1992 Republican convention, King's Barbecue down in Kinston sent some Eastern style North Carolina barbecue, and they had some from Texas as well, and they had a sort of taste off. And Perry,
this was a good spirited contest in the middle of a political convention.
That's
everybody's
right.
Just looking for good fun.
That's right. And Rick Perry, who at the time was Texas Agriculture Commissioner, you know, did his job and ran down North Carolina barbecue at the expense of Texas barbecue. I
mean, which was fun. I mean, he was trying to be funny.
Yeah, he said, I've had roadkill that tasted better than this. And it was in an N&O story from the convention. And when we were writing our book 3 or 4 years ago, I turned up that quote, and we stuck it in a little sidebar. So, you know, not everybody likes North Carolina barbecue. Rick Perry said this. He was not running for president at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even know who he was, hardly. I mean, you're interested in Republican politics.
Yeah,
you knew who he was, but not really.
I think he was governor of Texas by then. So, you know, he'd moved up from agriculture commissioner. But anyway, last week, I guess it was, the N&O, somebody at the N&O, picked up that quote from our book and ran it in a column. You know, I emailed them incidentally and said, you know, we got it from you in the first place. Credit where credit's due. Our book, not the kind of book that has footnotes, so we didn't say where it came from. But anyway, the thing has gone viral, I believe the expression is, because the other day, if you Googled the expression in quotes, roadkill that tasted better, you got something like 35 hits, and then you got 300 hits, and then you got 500 hits, and then you got, in a big jump, 3,000 hits. And this morning I looked it up, and it was up to 4,600 and something hits. So obviously this story has just got legs.
What is it about the story, John, that you could argue that a 1992 comment made in jest by anybody,
uh-huh,
by the Pope,
yes,
or by whoever you want to think of, but our political figure or anybody, or would be irrelevant to
You know, fortunately for the sales of our book, people love barbecue and they love talking about it and arguing about it and making fun of other people's barbecue. And, you know, Texans are every bit as bad as North Carolinians, and barbecue is almost as important in Texas as it is in North Carolina. I've got a daughter in Austin and a son-in-law from San Angelo whose mission it is to educate me. So I've eaten a lot of Texas barbecue, and I'll be generous and say it tastes better than roadkill. But
this is the question that they're asking Governor Perry now. How do you know how roadkill tastes?
Well, in my case, the only roadkill I ever ate was a some venison that came from a deer that Jim C. had hit with his car.
See, that is my experience with roadkill, too. But that's another story. Yeah, but I'd love to tell it, so watch out. If I start, stop me.
That's right.
This is your show.
No, I've not eaten, possum or raccoon or some of the armadillo, some of those other things you find.
Well, then that is – so you really think that fresh venison cooked over a campfire does not taste as good as Texas barbecue?
Well, listen, I mean, I shouldn't say it in North Carolina, but I actually like Texas barbecue. I just wish they'd call it something else,
No, I mean, I want to push you on this. I mean, because Jim C. is a friend of ours, and he went to a lot of trouble after he ran up with this deer to dress it and cook it, yep. And was it not tasty?
No, it was very tasty.
And was it not as tasty as Texas barbecue?
Texas barbecue I like. Our book is called Holy Smoke.
Tells
you where we come to. Texas barbecue is smoky. I mean, compared to North Carolina barbecue or Memphis, anybody else.
You liked it better than Jim C.'s venison.
Don't make me say that.
Well, I'm just asking, curious about that. Because
Jim, I'm sorry, but your venison.
Is it a close call?
Jim, your venison was great. Would have been better if you'd barbecued it.
Okay. So Texas barbecue tastes better than the roadkill that you eat.
Yes, it did.
Even though the roadkill was pretty good.
Yeah. But anyway, this thing is gotten out of hand. And I actually sent Governor Perry an email just this morning. I sent it to the address on his campaign website.
He's probably got a contract out on you right now. Ever since this thing started,
uh-huh.
It's been downhill for Governor Perry. Before this barbecue thing got started, he was the unquestioned favorite to win the Republican nomination. In fact, it was almost unquestioned.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he performed poorly in the debate, but the media decided that he performed below expectations. He lost the Florida straw poll vote, was a big upset, unexpected. He then lost badly in Michigan. It wasn't a surprise that he lost, but getting crushed like he did, he's thanks to you. He's had the worst week of his life,
It didn't help that he told the truth about Social Security and called it a Ponzi scheme.
But he told the truth about.
I think it's Ponzi.
Are you collecting Social Security right now?
I am. Thanks. Thank you, all the taxpayers that are paying it, because you're not going to get any.
I think it's interesting that you weren't out to get Governor Perry.
Oh, no.
You would be closer to his viewpoints.
Closer than you.
Political than I am, and you're closer to him than President Obama or other.
Yeah, anyway, I sent him some advice this morning. I sent it to the address on his website, so, he'll probably never see it. But I said, you got this problem, and I'm sorry. My role in it, but what you should do.
Did you say this, that I'm an admirer? Did you say
that? No, I didn't say I'm an admirer. I just said I'm sorry I'm making difficulties for you. But, you're going to be asked.
Well, I'm interrupting you a lot, and I really do apologize, but this is so much fun. But if he gets an email with a Chapel Hill, from a Chapel Hill professor, and with a Chapel Hill or Pittsburgh address, depending on what your email return reply is, he's going to say this is from a big time liberal. I hadn't got time for it. But if he knows that about your political leanings, he's going to be more inclined did you tell him?
No, I just said, look, you're going to be asked about your statement that you made 20 years ago when you come to North Carolina, and here's what you should say.
I say,
trust me, here's what you should say. You should say, I was just repeating something I heard from somebody from Lexington.
which is very funny and very good. If people understand that, although this
if he says
North Carolina, the saying is labeled North Carolina barbecue. It doesn't say Eastern North Carolina.
No, it was Eastern style. It was from Kinston, from Kings down in Kinston, and anybody any North Carolinian will understand and crack up, I trust, when he
now,
says—
Did you explain to him why this would— What did you tell him that— What did you tell him about North Carolina, the divisions in North Carolina that would help him understand why your advice is good?
I don't remember how I worded it, but I said, you know, the rivalry between Eastern barbecue, which is what you had, and Lexington-style barbecue is fierce, you know.
I've got one more question about this that deals with your prejudices about the kinds of pork that is prepared in North Carolina and called North Carolina barbecue that in your mind might not be
right.
North Carolina barbecue. John Sheldon Reed, co-author of Holy Smoke, the Big Book of North Carolina Barbecue, and the immediate source of the embarrassing comment that Governor Rick Perry made about North Carolina barbecue and its comparison to roadkill, is my guest, and he and I will be right back.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about barbecue and politics. Two of my favorite topics, if not my very favorite topics. And one of the reasons that I know so much about barbecue is because John Reed, my guest, and his wife Dale, and along with their friend Will McKinney, wrote a fantastic book called Holy Smoke, all about North Carolina barbecue. And that book had a very short quote from 1992 by the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, a guy named Rick Perry, who said that he had had roadkill better than the North Carolina barbecue that he had tasted. And John Reed is in his 15 minutes of of fame because he's the guy who has brought Rick Perry down. John, first of all, welcome again. One of the things that this is kind of a open secret, but you just have to say that.
You want me to talk about cooking with gas?
I want you to talk about the King's barbecue from Kinston, which is what Governor Perry had before he made that comparison. And a lot of people in eastern North Carolina and Kinston think King's barbecue is in the pantheon of great places to eat. And you've got a problem with that barbecue.
Yeah. I don't know what they were doing in 1992. It's possible that the barbecue that Perry ate was cooked, to my mind, properly with over wood, you know, wood
well,
coals.
Well, be specific about this because
a lot of places in North Carolina, particularly in the east for some reason, but a lot of places in the recent years have stopped cooking with wood for one reason or another and switched to gas or electric cooking. And King's is one of them. And some of the best known names in North Carolina barbecue are no longer, to my mind, barbecuing, if by barbecuing you mean cooking with wood coals. King's is one, Parker's is another, Bill Ellis is a third, Smithfield Chicken and Barbecue, which capitalized on this furor by sending Governor Perry a couple of pounds of their product. I don't know that they're going to convert him because they're not cooking with wood either, you know.
What about the places nearby, just as an aside? I think Keith still gets up in the morning.
Keith Allen gets up. He splits wood every afternoon. He gets up in the morning and fires up the wood.
What about Allen? Allen's and son, the sons south of town.
They're gassers.
The barbecue at Allen's and Son in Pittsburgh or near Pittsburgh is not the same.
No, it's not. That operation's run by somebody else. It has the same name, but it's not.
A lot of us, not as persnickety as you about wines and barbecue, still like the seasoned roasted barbecue or whatever it is. Pig that.
Yeah, you can get a little smoke too because the fat drips off of it and hits a surface produces smoke. It's not wood smoke; it's fat smoke, you know. But there can sometimes be a little smoky taste to it, and you know, I'm not really knocking these places. Their
product, there should be a little asterisk that said not. Yeah, not cook with the wood coals.
Yeah, or, I mean the pinnacle is wood cooking, and it's not easy, and it's not consistent either. I mean, the best places in the state, to my mind, occasionally have a bad day. I mean, I've talked to them about it, and they say, you know, you want to work it so you have as few bad days as possible.
But you are going to have some bad days.
Yeah, and you want it, you know, still to be good, even on a bad day, but. The other side is they occasionally have a great day, you know.
Yeah, if you want to hit on those days. But John, for those of us whose taste buds are not, whose palate is not as trained, and we are not as selective, from your taste buds, and where does at what point as you taste the barbecue is it? Can you just say, "Oh my gosh, yeah, this guy cooks with wood coals or with hickory or with some other real wood smoke that puts the right flavor in it"?
It's hard to say, but I think if you try them side by side, you'll taste the difference. I mean, a place like Parker's or King's, their product's good, and I've eaten there quite happily, and also they're also important places in the community. I mean, they're institutions, and I feel bad even criticizing them. But if you go down the road to Wilbur's, you know, he's producing a lot of barbecue, and he's doing it absolutely right. He's burning down oak logs in the back of the place and shoveling those coals under the hogs, you know,
and it's worth, from your standpoint, a lot more to taste that kind of barbecue than what is called barbecue with, as you would say, it's not barbecue, but if it's cooked under gas, it's
roast pork.
Roast pork.
But it is to me, and the odd thing is it doesn't cost any more. I mean, you know, the guys that do it right don't charge more than
people. They don't, but it costs more in terms of the hard work that goes.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't cost the consumer more.
You mentioned that there are several reasons why many of the big barbecue places, particularly in the East, have switched to or have eliminated coal, real smoke from wood coals, and that one of those reasons is health department concerns, isn't it?
Well, that's what they'll tell you, and sometimes I think there's some truth to that. I mean, if you're cooking with wood coals, it is. First of all, it's expensive. It also means you've got to have someone tending it all night, which you don't if you just turn on the gas and leave it. But it also can be unreliable. So you know, you've got to be sure the thing's cooked all the way through and cooked right. And
you don't know exactly what the temperature might be for over an extended period of time.
Yeah, well, that's where the art comes in. I mean, the old timers can, you know, put their finger, push the skin, and they say, yeah, this is done, you know.
But well, the other is I guess, environmentally, that this all this wood smoke going straight up out of the chimney is it would be like if we had all of us using our fireplaces at once.
I suppose. But, you know, we've got a friend who cooks with wood in downtown San Francisco on Haight Street, you know. And he's got a big old chimney and a scrubber of some kind. But, you know, if you can do it in downtown San Francisco, you can do it in Golden.
It would be discriminatory if people let you cook your pizzas with a wood-fired oven and wouldn't let us do barbecue.
Exactly. Right? You know, I think that's – I really think you can do it if you want to. You know, Wilbur's does it on an industrial scale. Stamey's in Greensboro does it on a huge scale. Okay, Wayne Monk and the Barbecue Center in Lexington both cook shoulders, you know, dozens of them a day. And it can be done if you want to. It's not easy. It's not cheap. And a lot of people can't tell the difference, so you begin to wonder if it's worth it, you know. And there are little places, DG. That's the interesting thing. You drive around North Carolina, you come around a corner, and here's a place you never heard of. And there's a place in East Bend called Sharon's, Sharons.
Where is East Bend?
Near Winston-Salem, other side of Winston-Salem from here. And one day we were driving around back roads, blue highways, and came around a corner, and here's this place, and there's smoke coming out of a chimney. It's Sharon's Barbecue Hut. We stopped. And, you know, they're cooking maybe one shoulder a day because it's not a big place, and they also selling hot dogs and hamburgers. But the one shoulder, they're cooking right, you know. And
we'll put this on the list of new places to visit. Yeah. East Bend, North Carolina, wherever that is. Sharon's.
It's Sharon's. Like the woman's name, but with two R's.
Let's take a quick break. We've got a lot more to talk about. We're talking about it in the context of Rick Perry's indiscreet remark about North Carolina barbecue compared to roadkill. All of this because John Reed put it in his book, Holy Smoke. And he and I'll be right back to talk more about North Carolina barbecue and North Carolina politics after this short break.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. John Sheldon Reed's a co-author of Holy Smoke, the Big Book of North Carolina Barbecue, and that book is the immediate source of Rick Perry's problems as a presidential candidate because 20 years ago, according to John Reed, he made a comment that said he had roadkill better than North Carolina barbecue. Before we leave the topic of gas-fired versus wood-coal-fired, there is a relationship between this comment and your worry about North Carolina barbecue places giving up coal, because you're worried that maybe Rick Perry didn't taste real North Carolina barbecue. King's provided it, and I think you told us that King's no longer cooks.
They don't anymore. I don't know if they did in 1992 or not, but I'm sure Perry, as Texas Agriculture Commissioner, would have said the same thing if he'd had the best barbecue in the state. I mean, that's his job, is to run down other people's barbecue. but
you know, well, he could have said, if he just remembered that he was going to be running for president, obviously, he could have said, this wonderful North Carolina barbecue would be great if you couldn't get
Texas
barbecue, which is even better, if so much better, that it's what I like to eat every day. I mean, he could have said something.
That would have been gracious, but that wouldn't have been Texan, you know. also, as I said, you know, people in the Piedmont say worse things than Perry ever did about Eastern North Carolina stuff.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, I don't want to anticipate what we might – well, we might not get to this, but Rick Perry's down now, all of a sudden, on the roller coaster ride to the nomination. But this comment, and just the way you explained it, that is Texan, is something that, notwithstanding the prior Texas, the other Texas governors who become president, yeah, that a lot of us do like a politician who will say what he thinks rather than trying to please every crowd.
Yeah.
And there's something about this remark that, I mean, we're interested in how Governor Perry will deal with it when he comes to North Carolina and is asked about it. But we don't, I mean, isn't there a part of us who says, yeah, okay, we don't agree with him, but by golly, here's a man who will tell you what he thinks.
Well, certainly I like that. And I think people ought to stand up for their native cuisines, you know. And I don't really see any harm in running down other people's, I mean, running down other people's food. I mean, running down other people's characters is a different matter. But,
it's,
you know,
like,
this is good sport, you know. It really,
well, it's like a football team allegiances.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you've got a guy from Boston who grew up in Boston and he's a Red Sox fan and he comes to campaign in New York City, and all of a sudden he says, oh, I love those Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's wearing a New York Yankees baseball cap or something like that. You say, what? This guy is you can't trust him.
That's one reason I'm opposed to ACC expansion. You know, I can't even, I don't care about Boston College. I can't even hate them, you know.
The rule ought to be you can't get in unless they're at least.
Unless somebody hates you.
That's right. All right, well, we're getting off topic. Maybe we can come back another day and talk about this. I'm having so much fun talking about Governor Perry and about being in the presence of the guy who has pulled him down, John Reed. But
I wish you wouldn't put it that way.
Barbecue and North Carolina politics. Well, let's just start out this way.
It's the the third rail of North Carolina barbecue.
You've sent some advice to Governor Perry. But what about, have any North Carolina politicians talked to you about this matter?
Well, DG, I've talked to one governor in my life, but as it happens, that was two nights ago. I was talking to Governor Perdue, and she mentioned this Rick Perry thing when she heard I'd written.
When she found out who you were.
When she heard I'd written a book about barbecue, so she said, have you seen what Rick Perry said? Well, as a matter of fact, I said, I have, and I think it's my fault.
So she perked up.
So she had already sent somebody down to Goldsboro to pick up a couple of pounds of Wilbur's barbecue, and being a politician, she sent somebody over to Lexington to pick up a couple of pounds of Piedmont-style barbecue, and she was going to send it to Perry. I don't know if she's done it or not, but that was her plan.
And what was she going to say? Did she tell you what the message was going to be, or did she just say, I think he needs to taste some?
She didn't mention the message, but you know, I asked if she knew him, and she said, oh, yeah. So apparently, you know, there's a
governors know each other
camaraderie there across party lines. But
well, maybe he will be generous enough to send her a couple of packages. A variety of Texas roadkill.
There you go. Some armadillo. But as I said, barbecue is the third rail here of North Carolina politics. I mean, it did Rufus Edmiston in when he was running for governor. You know, he made the mistake of saying he'd eaten about as much barbecue as he could stand. And, you know, he said later, you'd have thought I'd said something bad about mother or apple pie because it was just downhill from there.
You've got all that documented even more detail about Rufus Edmiston's miscues on
gaffe. Yes.
Gaffe, I guess. Is that right? That he is now 30 years later is able to bite his lip and laugh at himself about.
I think so.
He believed that it might not be right, but that had it not been for that gaffe, he might have been governor.
He might well, yeah. And you really have to know what you're talking about, too. And poor Michelle Obama was really meant well, you know, when she was saying that the convention's coming to Charlotte, and she said, you know, they're great people in Charlotte, and they have good barbecue, too. And even the Charlotte newspaper said, we have good barbecue. Where do we find good barbecue in Charlotte? You know, we go to Shelby for barbecue.
Yeah, well, that was just such a sight. And the people at the Charlotte Observer just hadn't, you know, they just don't go out North Tryon Street. That's not part of their, and there's good barbecue out North Tryon Street. At least in my view, there is.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me.
It's not exactly Eastern or Western North Carolina, but I think it's cook under coals and a family tradition. Yeah. And I just thought this is not this is more damnation of the attitudes of the editorial and reporters at the Charlotte Observer than it is of Michelle Obama, who's more.
She met well, certainly.
No, she was. She was from the standpoint of somebody from Chicago, there's good barbecue in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, maybe it's not as good as Shelby, and maybe it's not as good as Lexington, maybe it's not as good as Goldsboro.
Or Gastonia.
Yeah. But Charlotte has good barbecue, and people in Charlotte won't brag about what's good about it.
You're the Charlottean. You're going to have to tell me where to go. But actually, somebody from Chicago ought to know barbecue because Chicago's a great barbecue town.
Is it really? But not our kind of barbecue.
No.
It's a Texas-style barbecue.
It's a Memphis-style.
It's a pork
pork ribs, largely. The black folks went straight up the Illinois Central.
Not shoulders.
They do pulled pork also, but it is a Mississippi Memphis style. Got sweet red sauce, you know.
And you. You know, golly, we get in an argument about something else, but I mean, you preach the gospel of Eastern and Western. I mean, this is heresy, but your gospel is Eastern and Western North Carolina barbecue are not all that different. Compared to other sections. So.
In fact, they're not. You know, they're more like each other than either one's like what you get in Kansas City.
But going over the mountains. Into Tennessee, where you grew up, or even further into Memphis, mm-hmm. while the Memphis ribs covered with some different kinds of sauces, but the cooking style is at least comes out of the same beginning tradition.
Yeah. I mean, barbecue, pretty much barbecue. I mean, you're cooking stuff with wood coals or for a long time at a relatively low temperature. Now, there are exceptions, and something called cowboy barbecue that is basically cooked over an open. It's basically grilled, but they call it barbecue. DG, I have just in the last week signed a contract to write another barbecue book.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to write.
What else? What did you not say?
well, I said everything possible about North Carolina barbecue, I hope. You know, I'm going to write a shorter book about barbecue everywhere. UNC Press has a series of coming out on iconic Southern foods called A Taste of the South. So I just agreed to write one on barbecue, A Taste of the South. There'll be ones on peaches and you know, grits and whatnot. So,
well, that's exciting news. I mean, are you sure you're supposed to share that publicly? I hadn't said
Well, I just signed the contract. And it won't be out for a couple of years.
You're going to get rich on this?
No, I don't think so. But it gives me an excuse to go, you know, go to Memphis and Texas and Kansas City and eat barbecue and take it off my taxes, you know.
We're visiting with John Reed. We're talking about barbecue and politics, Rick Perry and roadkill, and we'll be right back.
Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now back to Who's Talking with DG Martin on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're visiting with John Shelton Reed. He's the co-author of Holy Smoke. That's the book where the enterprising news reporter found a quote from Rick Perry that compared North Carolina barbecue unfavorably with Texas roadkill. And it gave us an excuse, John, to get together and talk about politics and barbecue. And you told us that... Well, let me ask you this question. Then you go where you want to with it. But why is barbecue so intimately associated with politics in North Carolina?
Well, that's a good question, DG, and I'm not sure I can answer. It always has been. I mean, in our book, we talk about we've got a lot of stuff about 19th century and even 18th century public barbecues, big. With political speeches, you know, and one way to gather a crowd is to cook a pig, and while they're eating, you could, you know, tell them to vote for your candidate. So it has that connection. Let me take this in a slightly different direction, and that's to say that, you know, one of the great things about barbecue, to my mind, is that it is different everywhere. I mean, it's like wines or cheeses. We said it's terroir. You know, you drive 100 miles and you get a different barbecue. So Texas barbecue and North Carolina barbecue, aside from being cooked in a process you might call barbecuing, have very little in common. I mean, even the meats are often different and... You know, sauces and rubs and this kind of thing, all different. And that's one of the things I love about it. You know, Kansas.
But Texas is barbecue.
They call it barbecue, and the cooking style is low and slow, as we say.
And it's with wood. You insist that Texas barbecue have smoke in order to to call it barbecue.
Texas barbecue is even smokier than ours, as a rule. They often use mesquite, which is a strongly smoky flavor, but. You know, Kansas City is different. Memphis is different. Alabama is different. South Carolina, Lord knows, is different. For some places, you get that yellow sauce. But that's one of the things I love about it. Is it's different everywhere. That may be changing, and I think it's Kansas City's fault because largely there is becoming a sort of metropolitan uniform definition of barbecue, which. Has sauces on it, thick red sauces as a rule. Kansas City came late to barbecue, but they're the ones that now dominate the barbecue competition.
How does it differ from Texas or Memphis barbecue?
Well,
it's beef or is it?
Well, Kansas City is kind of a smorgasbord, but one thing that they nearly all have in common is they have a thick red sweet sauce that's basically ketchup.
Or a ketchupy sauce on it. And that covers a lot of mistakes, or does that cover?
It can. And the Kansas City Barbecue Society, it basically oversees the competition barbecue world. So if you go to a competition, and there's a big one coming on at down in Rocky Mount on the 7th and 8th of October, it's a Kansas City Barbecue Society sanctioned contest. You've got people coming from all over to cook barbecue. There will be no North Carolina barbecue cooked at this competition, even
this
though it's
just awful.
I think it's terrible, but to compete in a Kansas City style, you cook pulled pork, you cook ribs, you cook brisket, beef brisket, and you cook chicken. You have to cook all four, and you can sauce them or what.
So, whatever. I mean, all this sounds great in terms of that would be fun to eat, but you wouldn't want it to be the dominant or only style of cooking.
Yeah, it's good food. It's good eating, but increasingly in cities around, including North Carolina, you've got barbecue restaurants open. I'm putting air quotes around barbecue, but it is barbecue. It's just not North Carolina barbecue. You go in and it's a kind of international house of barbecue. You know, you can order whatever meat you want, and then you order whichever sauce you want. There's an array of sauces, and you put it together.
So by trying to satisfy all taste, they really risked not doing a good job of the kind of precision job that somebody like Wilbur's or Allen's and Sons, in terms of being, we only do really one thing.
Yeah, and it's partly that, you know, you have people coming in from out of state, and they want some barbecue, and they eat North Carolina barbecue, and they say, what's all this vinegar on here? You know, that's not barbecue. What I want is some ribs with you know, thick, sticky, sweet sauce on it. I mean, that's barbecue. In some places, that is barbecue.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we've run into people who come in and eat the North Carolina style of barbecue that's got this hidden sweetened vinegar sauce on it. And they say, they look at it and they don't see any ketchup or anything. I mean, they don't see.
Yeah.
And they just say, well, when are you going to put the sauce on here?
My favorite story, I've got it in the book, is a Texan who went to Stamey's, you know, and took a look at this plate and said, and somebody already chewed this for me? But I will say she ate it then and had this epiphany where all of a sudden it dawned on her, you know, this is amazing food.
This is a great place. You and Dale are very generous and heaping praise on different styles of barbecue. What is it that makes us, when we like something or like our own stuff, that instead of just saying our stuff is really good and I really like it and it suits me, that we have to disparage everything else that's that seems to be in? Why do we do? Why can't North Carolinians, for instance, say I like both Wilbur's and Lexington.
Well, you know, you're generous to say we're generous,
you're not.
Well, I'm not really. I do like Texas barbecue, but I like it in Texas.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
If it's being sold in Durham, I want it labeled as Texas barbecue. You know, big old Lone Star and you know, Yeehaw, Texas style. Let it be an import. You know, don't say this is barbecue. You know, barbecue is what you get at a North.
It's like champagne having to come from Champagne or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. So, possibly because I come from out of state, I like Lexington style barbecue and I like Eastern style barbecue, but I like them where they belong. You know?
Oh, really? So, when you come in contact with a restaurant in the Piedmont that advertises that it's an Eastern North Carolina brand, you say, well, you should be an Eastern North Carolina. I'm not going to eat with you.
That's the way I feel about it. But actually, I'm not sure there are any of those. Somebody opened an Eastern-style barbecue place in Lexington, and it lasted about 6 months. You know, nobody went there, you know.
Well, I'll give you a couple of places that I'm not sure they've really succeeded at it. But that's there is this, like Prissy Polly's barbecue in Kernersville.
Uh-huh.
And they're caught right at the edge. And so they are trying to do both styles to meet the demand. There's a barbecue in Black Mountain. I mean, and they're caught by South Carolina barbecue fans, Eastern North Carolina, Western North Carolina that go across to Memphis and then to Texas. And so the poor guy is cooking everything. And he's got briskets and he's got chopped and pulled and he's got about five or six or maybe 10 different sauces.
Yeah.
And it's just a challenge that, you know, doesn't, he says, well, but the basic thing is I've got to the meat is really good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant by the International House of Barbecue. You know, and I understand why it happens. There's a nice young couple up in Asheville who run a place I can't remember the name of right now. But this is what they do, and it's what they have to do if they're going to make a living selling barbecue in Asheville, because Asheville's just full of people that didn't grow up with North Carolina right. barbecue.
Before we just got a minute left, and I want to return to you about politics, and you tilt towards the Republican side, so give us some help about whether or not the experiences of the last week, largely caused by you, have that whether Governor Perry can recover and become.
Oh, come on, TG.
You put your political hat on. I mean, what do you think? I mean, could you be persuaded to vote for the guy?
I'd much rather talk about food.
But you got to talk about what.
I don't know enough about his issues. You know, I kind of like him personally because he does speak his mind, and he does have a sense of humor, which is all too rare in politics these days. It gets him in trouble, you know, he said this about Ponzi scheme. He'd never hear the last of that. He once said something about rethinking secession because he was annoyed at the federal government. Well, people get after him for lack of gravitas, you know.
But you sort of like him about that.
You could be
persuaded to vote for him in a Republican primary.
I like Texans, but I've got a son-in-law from San Angelo, you know, and I hang out there a lot. So.
Well, all right. If we had more time, I'd push you harder. But boy, what fun to talk to you about barbecue and politics. John Shelton Reed is the co-author of Holy Smoke, Big Book of North Carolina Barbecue, and the cause of Governor Rick Perry's problems. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Thanks for having me.
Thanks all y'all for listening. It's been Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. I'll be back here before you know it.